There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Help Desk. My name is Peter Wells.
And I'm Tess Bennett.
And let's start the stories with a double up from Facebook this week.
Yeah, so busy weekend at Facebook. Firstly, the social media giant is upset with academics who are seeking to study the platform without its permission. So Facebook is demanding that a New York University research project stop collecting data about its political ad targeting practices. The dispute involves the NYU Ad Observatory, a project launched last month by the university's engineering school, and it's recruited more than 6,500 volunteers to use a specifically designed browser extension to collect data about the political ads Facebook shows them. Obviously, this is a touchy subject because the election is so close and the whole Cambridge Analytica thing.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that Cambridge Analytica never actually really went away. It was disbanded, but it has re-emerged as a company called Emerdata. So that's a bit of a scary thought. It's still out there doing all its good election work. But yeah, this feels like Facebook are hiding behind its terms and services just to stop academic research into its power. And that's a little troubling for me.
Yeah, so that's what Facebook's objection is to it, that its T's and C's prohibit bulk data collection from the site. But what the researchers are trying to find out is, following the 2016 presidential campaign, Facebook launched an archive of advertisements that run on its platform. So you can see who paid for an ad, where it ran, and the people who saw it. But the library actually excludes the information about the targeting behind who saw those ads. So that's really what these researchers are trying to use, screen scraping, I guess, techniques to try and get that data without relying on Facebook to hand it over to them.
Yeah, I remember approaching Facebook actually after the federal election in Australia and asking if I could see some of the targeting ad results for some of the campaigns, especially in far north Queensland, that apparently worked very successfully on Facebook and were able to sway the electorate up there. They weren't forthcoming. They wouldn't show me any of the data, funnily enough. So, yeah, look, it just seems like one of those things where the company is not going to share this data voluntarily, but this is the data we need to understand how Facebook is, what Facebook's role is in our democracy.
But to a bigger election, Facebook is preparing for what could be an post-election shit show in the US. The Wall Street Journal reports Facebook is considering releasing new tools following the US election to try and turn down the heat. Previously used in countries including Sri Lanka and Myanmar, the tools could alter what tens of millions of Americans see when they log onto the platform, diminishing their exposure to sensationalism, calls to violence, and misinformation. The emergency measures include slowing down the spread of viral content and lowering the bar for suppressing potentially inflammatory posts. So all completely normal behavior there.
Yeah, totally. It's the crazy uncle filter.
Yeah, the uncle that has a gun filter, though.
Yeah, good point, good point. I don't know. If you know that your platform incites this kind of behavior, this kind of anger and violence, maybe it's time to look at the platform itself. Maybe this is not just an election time issue.
Well said.
Moving on, and code sharing website GitHub has removed the code for YouTube DL, which is a very popular command line tool that allows you to download, as the name suggests, YouTube videos, also videos from iView and SBS On Demand. It's a fantastic little tool and much beloved in my circles, my tech nerd circles, and the TV saving circles I travel in. Mm-hmm. I guess it was inevitable that YouTube download would eventually be taken off the site, but I'm just actually surprised it's taken this long.
Yeah, that's what stood out to me, that it sounded like a straightforward copyright issue. I guess it's interesting that around the timing, why specifically now?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, GitHub was purchased by Microsoft late last year, I want to say, possibly. Who knows? Time has no meaning anymore, but it was purchased last year sometime, and so I guess that Microsoft now has to take some of these things a little bit more seriously. We saw the same thing, actually, ironically, with YouTube. When YouTube was just a little startup, it would host a lot of stuff that was on the gray side of piracy and content, but once it was purchased by YouTube, then it suddenly had to start playing nice with the record labels and the film labels and all of those kind of things. And it really, now it will take down, it's probably a bit too aggressive in its takedowns of copyrighted material, but that's the way the big boys play.
And self-driving cars are a scary step closer to reality. The Verge reports Tesla's full self-driving beta is here, and it looks scary as hell. Last week, Tesla released a beta or a test version of what it calls a full self-driving software upgrade to an undisclosed number of what it calls expert careful drivers. So what could go wrong?
Yeah, I watched the video that was on the Verge story and, oh my God, it just made me feel sick almost. Have you ever sat in a Tesla when it's been going through its self-driving mode there, Tess?
No, I haven't. And watching that video did not fill me with confidence either.
Yeah, I've done it only once. It was at Vegas this year as part of CES. I ordered an Uber and the guy came in a Tesla. And as we were driving back to the hotel, we're on this giant freeway and he was just flying down the freeway and he had his hands in the air, very proudly showing me that the car was doing all of the lane changes itself. And I was like, please just put your hands back on the steering wheel. I'm not enjoying this at all. So yeah, I am not a huge fan of this. I just kind of think that, like, yeah, I get that self-driving cars are coming. I just want them tested in airport bunkers and away from me. I don't want them tested on public roads.
Yeah, I mean, at some point they do need to make the step into the real world, but this, I agree, this is terrifying. And the company said you've got to keep your hands on the wheel and you've got to be actively supervising it while this the self-driving mode is doing its thing. But humans are actually really terrible at passively monitoring something. So you're either driving or you're not driving. We're not very good at sort of that in-between phase.
Yeah, and if you just do a search on YouTube or Twitter on Tesla self-driving, you'll just see so many videos of people not putting their hands on the steering wheel because I guess humans are terrible.
Now to something a little more heartwarming.
Yeah, this is just a lovely story from Wired. It's quite a long story, but it is about video games being used to help returned veterans deal with post-traumatic stress disorder. As you can imagine, there are some really heavy moments in this article, but it is very long. It's written from a vet, and it really does show the power of video games, and not just the standard ones you might think of, but, veterans playing Animal Crossing, for instance, as a way to kind of reintroduce themselves to society is just it's a wonderful, wonderful tale. So, Tess, have you used video games at all? Have you rediscovered video games during lockdown to kind of help bridge that that society gap, that isolation gap that we're all feeling?
No, I have not been converted to being a gamer as yet. I kind of never really took to it. It was a Nintendo Game Boy player, but beyond that I sort of never really developed the like hand eye coordination to to be a natural at it, but the demographic is really a lot wider than what a lot of non-gamers like myself assume.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll post in the show notes one of the research papers I've been reading recently about the way that parents have been using, say, for instance, video games to bond with their kids during lockdown, to experience some social time with their kids, and also to have some screen time that doesn't feel as guilty as, just sitting in front of Peppa Pig for 10 hours. Video games are providing that as well. Anyway, that's all we have time for today. My name is Peter Wells.
And I'm Tess Bennett.
And I totally didn't sleep in for our 1 p.m. recording session. Unfortunately, I do have a one-year-old and he got me up at 4 a.m. this morning, so it was a little hard going and sometimes naps just rage out of control. Anyway, my sincere apologies, Tess. I promise it won't happen tomorrow.
No worries. See you.
Speak to you then. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.